Lakeview.edu. Scroll down to Bookstore, browse, and place your order today. That's conservative.edu and scroll to Bookstore.
Portions of this program may be pre-recorded.
Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day, with the goal of motivating and informing listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on 3 regional stations in Florida and Georgia. Dr. Youngblood's expository preaching is also heard on these 3 stations in Jacksonville, Florida, St. Augustine, Florida, and Brunswick, Georgia. Now there's a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities. Your help is needed to accomplish this mission. Your support in any amount is crucial to take the next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale. Please go to fcbcatjax.com or to send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258, Attention Radio. Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you, thank you, thank you once again for joining us today on Let's Face the Issues. Our special guest today is Congressman Mike Hill. Congressman Hill is the former District 1 representative in the Florida House of Representatives. I'm thankful that he's taken time out of a busy schedule to join us today. Congressman Hill, I was just thinking a moment ago as we broke for the news, look at what is happening in the Middle East today, and so many want to say that, well, this is something that's new, we've gone into war, we've jumped into it, and there's no exit plan, et cetera, et cetera. Those are the accusations against President Trump. But what I believe our listeners need to understand, and Greg touched on it a moment ago, that this is something that's been going on for some 47 years. It's been festering, and they have paid for and put terrorists out around the globe, and we've witnessed some of that firsthand in America. And as a result of previous presidents' timidity and lack of the wisdom and the spine, if you will, to take a stand, we've come to this point in place. So now that we've had process that is taking place now, it's called Epic Fury, with the leadership of Donald Trump. He's the one that's getting the blame for trying to set the sails and get the ship aright. But now, the question that I have, Congressman Hill, that I'd love to see you address for our listeners today, is it possible that what we see taking place will quell the anger of Iran? Will this event stop Iran from moving forward in any future eschatological prophetic text? Or is this just simply a part of the total big picture for the end times?
Well, to answer your question, Dr. Youngblood, no. This will not stop Iran from reacting in the future against Israel and the United States. As you know, it has been prophesied that they are going to continue on this relentless pursuit of evil. Is part of their DNA. Mm-hmm. It's in them, and they will not stop. There is going to be a temporary pause.
Yes.
We don't know how long that pause is going to be. God knows, but we don't. But President Trump did the right thing. The first president, when he was in office the first time, he rebuilt our military. Biden didn't know what to do with it. He didn't know what to do with anything, by the way. All he did was stole from the American taxpayers, American treasury, he and his cronies around him. Now, Trump came into office and finished the job. What I'd like to hear is what General Kane said this morning about Iran and others. He said, to those who would test our resolve or threaten the United States or its allies, understand clearly, we can reach you, we can sustain the fight, and we can scale the fight, and we will prevail. He stated, I agree with that, and I believe him, that the United States is going to finish this excursion properly. Now, Iran, as I say, is going to cause a pause for how long, we'll see, but they'll be back with their evil intentions again. The Bible tells us so.
Absolutely. One of the things I like with the general statements this morning that you just alluded to and spoke of in part, he said this was a massive and devastating attack designed to daze and to confuse the Iranians. Now, the reason that stands out in my mind, Congressman Hill, when you study Ezekiel 38 and 39, the earlier portion of chapter 38 finds that when the war with Russia, and Russia leading the five-nation coalition, which includes Iran, when they come against Israel, and the Bible says, God speaking, that it's my land, my people, and my war. I find it fascinating. And when they come together in the battle, there's confusion in the fog of war that the enemy begins to kill itself, coming yes. against its own people, its own soldiers, if you will. And I find it amazing that in this statement now by the general that's leading this battle for us in the Middle East, he made the statement that I just quoted, designed to daze and confuse. I think it is a, how would you say, precursor to what we see in the final days when ultimately the war with Russia will take place. And Congressman Hill, if you'll pause for a moment, I want to give our listeners a chronological event here, a chronological, if you please, timeline. Because the next thing on the calendar of God is the rapture of the church. But before the rapture of the church takes place, there's nothing in Ezekiel 38 and 39 that says that it will not start before the rapture. During the 7 years of tribulation, this war with Russia will be taking place. But it will be ignited and will start, and we will get to see part and parcel of it before the rapture of the church. And one of the things that I want to read to you and get your response to, one writer said this, it has been confirmed that Iran appealed to Russia, invoking the clause of their mutual assistance in the event of a threat to sovereignty. End quote. Moscow, who could be surprised, resorted to the legal sophistry, saying, since the U.S. and Israel strikes are framed and targeted operations against terrorist infrastructure, rather than a full-scale invasion, the Kremlin interprets this as a situation that does not trigger the collective defense clause, end quote. Further, the article reads, Iran reportedly asked Russia to send to activate its S-400 system of Lear 3 electronic warfare systems at Russian base in Syria to blind Israeli aircraft. Instead, Russia not only refused, but according to some reports, even turned off the transponders and active radar system at the bases during the flight of Israeli missiles in order to avoid accidental involvement and to, at any pretext, for entering the conflict. Moscow's refusal will be heard in Beijing and across the global south. Russia has demonstrated that it is an ally until the first serious challenge, end quote. Reports are that the Russian elites, especially the pragmatic wing, are now openly saying that Iran's strategy was based on a bet that Russia was a mistake to lead a national catastrophic event, end quote. The summarization of that, Congressman Hill, is simple. Right at this very moment, Russia's been in league with Iran for years. About 5 or 6 years ago, they signed a pact of self-defense, defending each other. If Iran is attacked, then Russia would join in. If Russia's attacked, then Iran would join in. Russia had that opportunity and totally refused to join in this battle. They wanted to back off at this point. I am finding it fascinating, and most people are not aware of the fact that in the ports in Syria, major mega numbers of Russian armament and warfare and submarines and warships are there waiting to be launched into the Middle East, and it's setting the stage for Ezekiel 38 and 39 to come about. So my question is, wonder why, I'm just hypothetically laughing and thinking, wonder why Russia decided we're not going to get into this battle at this time, but according to the scripture, we see it shall in the future. Is it possible that because of the oil being cut off from Russia, when we went in and removed Maduro from Venezuela, we took the oil out of its circulation for Cuba and for Russia, and now when we have hit Iran, we're cutting off the oil for China and for Russia. Your opinion, your thoughts, how long will it take before Russia and China decide to get into the fray to protect the Middle East to continue to get their oil?
Well, Dr. Youngblood, I don't think it'll take very long. Here's my observation. Russia also had an agreement with, as you mentioned, Venezuela and Cuba, but they could do nothing. And one reason why Russia could do nothing is because their ongoing war in the Ukraine right now. If they turn their attention away from that and start fighting on a multi-pronged front, the Ukrainians could prevail and take back a lot of the land that Russia has taken from them in the past 4 years. By the way, a war that Russia did not expect to last this long, and neither did a lot of the world strategists. They did not think that the Ukrainians were going to hold out this long against the Russians, going now into the fifth year. It's already been 4 years.
That's right.
And so Russia right now having their oil taken away from them by Iran and also by Venezuela. We have to remember Russia has their own oil. So Russia can probably survive for a while. China is the one who's going to be hurting even more. But Russia needs that type of crude oil that is coming from Iran and Venezuela for their war machine. But in order to sustain their own energy needs, Russia does have their own oil and liquid natural gas. We'll have to see when they decide they're going to get involved. It may not be something rational, Dr. Youngblood. It could be a totally irrational event that takes place amongst the Russian leadership, which could cause them to react. But one thing we need to keep in mind with this whole situation, Dr. Youngblood, and you mentioned it in the very beginning, is that God is sovereign. God is the one planning this. As horrible and terrible as it is to us, none of this is catching God off guard.
That's right.
This is all going according to plan, according to His word. He is the sovereign God over what happens in heaven and on earth.
I am so thankful to know that, see that, and embrace that. In fact, as you are speaking, I'm looking at Ezekiel 38, verse 16. God speaking, "And thou shalt come against my people, Israel, as a cloud to cover the land. It shall be in the latter days, and I will bring thee against my land, that the heathen may know me, when I shall be sanctified in thee, O Gog, before their eyes." And I'm bringing up that because God speaks in that one verse. It's my people, it's my land, and it's my war. And that should give comfort to every Christian conservative and patriot that's under the sound of my voice today, and the realization that God is in control. It's not out of control. God is in control. Now let's switch for just a moment. You've got the naysayers in Washington that's supposed to be trying to come together and have a meeting today or tomorrow to try to vote on War Powers Act and to try to rein in President Trump. They're saying that he does not have the authority to do what he's done. Speak to that. Does he have the authority? Does the Constitution give him the authority? Have we seen almost since George Washington forward with our presidents where they've done exactly what President Trump is doing, and yet we have the naysayers on the loose, lax, lost liberal side that I call the Socialist, Marxist, Communist, Democratic Party, and some of the rhinos, as you said a moment ago, in Washington that's saying that he doesn't. Explain to our listeners precisely, answering the question, does President Trump have the authority to do what he's done? And is it possible that in the midst of this, that the naysayers on the left can tie his hands and prevent him from carrying out what I believe God has called him to do?
Yes, he does have authority, Dr. Youngblood. Article 2 of the Constitution gives the president authority as commander-in-chief of the military. He doesn't have to go and ask Congress for permission to defend and protect this nation. Now, Article 1, which gives Congress their powers and authorities and their limitations, says that Congress must be the ones who declare war. No war has been declared against Iran. This is a military action to protect the United States. The president has full and complete authority to do that, as other presidents have done. As 45 of our previous 47 presidents have done unilaterally, use their Article 2 authority to protect and defend this nation. The two who did not, one was Zachary Taylor, who wasn't in office for a year, and I forget the other's name, who was in office only for months before he died. Those are the only two presidents who have not taken unilaterally military action against other nations to protect this nation, including Biden, Obama, Clinton, and who was that goofball in the 60s that we had? Lyndon Johnson?
Johnson.
all of them have taken military action without Congress declaring war. We haven't had a war declared since the end of World War II. Even Korea and Vietnam were not declared wars. They were, I believe I'm correct on that, Dr.
Correct.
But I could be
correct.
Wrong.
Correct.
So yes, he is completely within his authority to do this. It's amazing to me that just because of their hatred towards this president, that now they have to hold some emergency session to stop his actions. Why don't you hold an emergency session to pass the SAVE Act to protect our elections?
Yes.
Why don't you do that, Senator Thune? It's already passed the House. We need it to pass in the Senate to protect our elections, to bring back the integrity of our elections, such that the only people who can vote in our elections are U.S. citizens. You must provide evidence that you're a U.S. citizen with a photo ID. Provide evidence that you are a American citizen, and you can only vote if you have an ID. Provide evidence that you're an American citizen, and no mail-in ballots unless it is due to military deployments or illness or business. Other than that, we need to have them pass that SAVE Act, and that's what they should be doing now, mm-hmm. instead of trying to stop this successful and much needed operation that is going on right now.
Absolutely. Let me take just a moment to talk about the SAVE Act, and then we'll get back to Well, let's do this first. I believe it's in 73 or 79, where there was something passed called the War Powers Act that basically is designed to tie the president's hands. But every president has seen that as unconstitutional since that date. I believe it's either 73 or 79. There's not been a single president that's recognized it as being authentic and legal and therefore just totally ignored it. And that's the thing that people like Swalwell and others are now wanting to chide Trump for and say he's gone against the Constitution. No, it's not. The Constitution authorizes what he's done. But it's the War Powers Act that is unconstitutional and unenforceable that they're trying to hold his feet to the fire on. With that being said now, getting back to what you're saying with the SAVE Act, then our elections, I'm amazed of those in the House and some in the Senate that will mantra the fact that if you ask for an ID, that you're going to sequester the votes, you're going to suppress the votes, and you're going to keep people of color from being able to vote. And yet, for those for those that drink, you've got to have an ID to buy alcoholic beverages. For those that travel, you've got to have an ID to get on an airplane and a passport if you're going internationally. For those that go to the library even to check out a book, you've got to have a photo ID. And I could go on and on and on. But these loonies on the left are claiming that it is the SAVE Act is designed to suppress the votes in America. How do you respond to that kind of statement and the, how would you say, the idiotic mindset with that?
It's utter nonsense, Dr. Youngblood, but they will repeat it over and over again along with the help of the Democrat media because they think it sounds good. And it is a good a talking point that you're suppressing the vote. You're stopping minorities, in particular blacks and Hispanics, from voting, forcing them to show an ID. So it sounds good. Wait, well, that's not American to suppress the vote, but it's a lie. Mm-hmm. And they know it, but they will continue to repeat it over and over again. It's utter nonsense, Dr. Youngblood. And those who say it are simply showing their stupidity, their ignorance. That's one side. Others will continue to say it simply because of their evil intent, and that is to gain power, to regain power illegally, yes, instead of doing it correctly. That's the only way that Democrats can remain in power is if they cheat, lie, and steal. Otherwise, they can hardly get elected, and they know that.
Absolutely. Congressman Hill, the few minutes that we have left, I want to switch gears and go back to a thought. I'm looking at an article that says ballistic missiles from Iran have struck civilian areas. Families are once again running to bomb shelters. At least 9 worshippers seeking refuge in synagogue shelter were killed when it was hit. This is the reality as Purim approaches. Purim tells the story of ancient Persia, where an evil decree sought to annihilate all the Jews and was overturned. What was meant to be a day of destruction became a day of salvation. Fear turned to joy. That is the basis for the Jewish people around the globe to celebrate Purim, in which I believe it was yesterday was the beginning, the day before yesterday, the beginning of Purim for the Jewish people is that celebration. And the Bible says in the book of Esther that Esther said, perhaps for a time like this, so Queen Esther, being a Jew, and Ahasuerus the king did not know it. Queen Esther's uncle Mordecai was hated by Haman. Haman wanted everybody to bow and kneel as he passed by, and Mordecai the Jew would not. As a result of Haman's anger and hatred for the Jewish people, he had the decree signed by Ahasuerus that at a certain day, at a certain time, all Jews in all of the 128 areas across the then known world and that part of the world would be slain. When Queen Esther brought that to the king's attention, he basically said, and I paraphrase, the laws of the Medes and Persians cannot be altered, but I can sign a new law. He signed a new law that gave the authority to all of the Jewish people that said, and I'm going to paraphrase, when they come out to kill you, rise up and kill them first. That saved the life of the Jews. And it was known then that when Queen Esther said that I'm hit for a time like this, is it possible that we're witnessing, and I'm saying this hypothetically but yet believing it is it possible that President Donald J. Trump is the modern today's Queen Esther for a time like this to preserve and to shelter and to save and to deliver the Jewish people from what could have been sure annihilation had the Iranians, old Persia, been allowed to get a nuclear weapon that they've been stopped. Now, this is the second time. Elaborate on that some and your thoughts as we close today.
Yes, I agree with you, Dr. Youngblood, 100%. And when you see that what Iran is targeting now is they're shooting their missiles into Israel, it's not against military targets. They are shooting at civilian targets. Yes. Including synagogues and schools, places of worship, hospitals. That's what they are targeting. They're not targeting military assets, even though that's part of it. But they are focused on as much destruction as they can. So you're absolutely right. President Trump is stepping in as a time, such a time as this, protecting the nation Israel. By the way, Dr. Youngblood, that great war that is described in Ezekiel, all those nations coming at, against Israel, when you read the ending, Israel prevails against all the nations because of the sovereignty of God.
Absolutely. In fact, in Zechariah, the 12th chapter, it is very, very clear that God says that he is going to, I'm going to use my terms, annihilate, totally destroy every nation that comes against the nation of Israel. In fact, I'll read those verses for the benefit of our listeners. God says, behold, I will make Jerusalem a cup of trembling unto all the people around about, when they shall be in siege both against Judah and against Jerusalem. And in that day will I make Jerusalem a burdensome stone for all people, and though all those that burden themselves with it shall be cut into pieces, though all the people of the earth be gathered together against it. So we're witnessing that today. And it's not the finality of the last days, but it is the beginning, the onslaught of what I see, the progressive work of God as God sets the stage for the ultimate thing that will take place, events that will take place in Ezekiel 38 and 39. I'm looking at an article that I'll close with. Pete Hegseth, the Secretary of War, on Monday laid out the Trump administration's objective for the joint airstrikes with Israel, destroying the Middle East country's missile system and navy, ending in the pursuit. Listen to what he says. We didn't start this war, but under President Trump, we're going to finish this war, Hegseth said at the Pentagon 2 days after the strikes began in Tehran. So I'm thankful for what God is doing through President Trump. Congressman Hill, thank you so much for taking time to join us. It's our prayer that our listeners will recognize the time that we're in and keep looking up. Our redemption draweth nigh. God bless you. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us today. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as once again we face the issues.
Been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist